What actually is it that you're building there? Is it SAGD or is it open pit mining?
Yeah, this is an in-situ steam assist gravity drainage oil extraction facility.
Robert, you're here at NATE today, and you gave a presentation with regard to some research that ConocoPhillips is involved with. Could you tell me, first of all, what it is that you're actually doing up in the boreal forest?
So the Surmount project is the largest single-phase in-situ facility built ever, which is quite exciting. That's the business side of it. In terms of the experiment side of it, we're looking at alternate ways to deal with some of the footprint that we create in the process of building these in-situ facilities. So past practices have led to some, I would say, less than desirable outcomes in terms of ongoing weed and erosion control issues that we're left to manage. So together with NATE, we're trying an alternative to the status quo or the current industry standard practice of how we build soil stockpiles and how we maintain those through time.
So the earth itself, what do you have to do with it?
So the soil is between the construction of the facility and our requirement to return the facility back to equivalent land capability at the conclusion of our industrial activities there is stockpiled in the interim. This can be decades. And there are very clear regulatory requirements that we have to meet to conserve that as a reclamation material, as a resource to be used at the time of final reclamation.
So you're not actually allowed to just take it and spread it on the ground. You have to keep it so that you can use it again in the future.
That's correct, yeah.
So what would be the point of that?
The point is to make sure that we can meet our obligation to reclaim our footprint when we're finished our operations.
Now, with the current practices and regulations, what do you see as being the problem?
Well, it's not so much a problem. I'm sure it's all adequate. We're just convinced that there's a better way to do this, to achieve the same outcome, if not a better outcome, for a lower cost. And that's really important in this lower for longer environment. We're not convinced that the current status quo is the best solution.
No, I'm just thinking about some of the slides that you showed during your presentation. And so one of the concerns, if I have this right, is that you end up with the soil sitting there for maybe 20, 30, 40 years, and it basically becomes a good place to grow weeds. Is that correct?
The soil can become a problem in terms of the seedbed of weed seeds in the surface. So our hope is that by planting native species, or first of all, preparing the sites differently to create a pile that's conducive to natural regeneration, especially the topsoil piles, which have a lot of the native seed bank and propagules in them, to create better, higher quality reclamation material.
So one of the things that you suggested is that since you might end up having to wait about 3 or 4 decades before you can do the final reclamation on the SAGD plant that you've built, that you do something in the interim. What are you calling that?
We would call that interim reclamation. The hope is that we would have, rather than very low biodiversity value of this hydro-seeded grassy pile or grassy hill, you can see it more as a young forest in the meantime, that a few decades from now we'll be able to use that as a reclamation material.
So how would you go about that?
It would involve cutting down a young forest, right, to get to the material that we've stockpiled underneath this forest that's now alive and growing on the surface of the pile.
Take me through the process then of how you're actually building this stockpile.
We're required to store the different layers of soil. So you have a topsoil layer that has to be stored separate from the layer of soil underneath that, the subsoil. And those are taken and put on a firm foundation where we can access it at, you know, when we need it later on down the road. So those piles are always stored separately. You've got a subsoil pile and a topsoil pile, usually beside each other but not touching. And then we have to make sure that they don't erode or become infested with weeds. Those are some regulatory requirements there around managing for weeds and maintaining the piles so they don't wash away. We have to keep that material available for decades on the site where they're located.
So what are you suggesting that you do differently?
The current practice creates quite smooth, packed hillsides, 3-to-1 slope, very nicely packed down with heavy equipment, which is not really a great place to grow a forest. So the first step is to convince our own people and get our own processes aligned so that we create a rougher surface with some organic materials on it. So on this example, we introduced some old logs onto the top of the pile to add a woody component to it, which helps to provide microsites as well as, well, the wood holds moisture in place and provides additional microclimate for the plants. So we've got a range of conditions on the site as well as better growing conditions for plants.
It sounds like you're getting away from something that would be designed by an engineer and more towards something that's designed by an ecologist or a biologist.
Yeah, I have nothing against engineers, but we'd like to see a more, like you say, ecologists, biologists involved in the process that we help. You know, nature is very resilient and also very powerful force, and we'd rather get things off on the right footing, right from the start, rather than build it wrong and then try to fix it. So just help nature along. The forest wants to take over all the available space. A disturbance comes, the natural processes, successional species come in, pioneer species start out, like a fireweed after a fire, green alder might come in, and then you start to see a young forest start to grow up on a disturbance. That's what would happen in nature. So we're trying to emulate nature on these piles rather than force an engineered solution.
Would you actually be planting trees, or are you hoping that nature will set those trees down there for you?
Well, both. So in this example, we decided to plant trees to give a boost to the site because it had been several years and the conditions weren't conducive at the start. But on the next pile, my hope is that we would set the conditions for natural regeneration to take on a much more important role and hopefully have a much better outcome than what we've seen with our past topsoil construction practices.
So if you're hoping that this actually becomes an interim forest, when it comes time to do the reclamation to actually close up your plant, do you have to cut down that forest, cut down those trees?
Yes, that's a real outcome, yeah, which could generate additional economic activity locally and provide us with that much more organic matter to help incorporate into the reclamation work.
So you've been working with the Boreal Research Institute, which is associated with NAIT. What has been their involvement?
So NAIT, I think their unique niche here is in the applied research. So they are really looking for real-world problems to solve and apply their knowledge to. So what they've helped do is structure an experiment to lay out different treatment, different site preparation. We tried some mounding with a hoe. We tried some corner blading with a cat. We put woody material on with the hoe. We left some areas without woods. We've got a range of different ecological conditions, and then we've got a range of revegetation treatments. So they've provided the experimental design to test these in a more rigorous manner, but also in an applied manner. So we've created a demonstration site at our facility where we can take operators and show them different combinations of this is what corner blading looks like, this is what it looks like with wood, this is what it looks like corner blading with wood with 5,000 stems per hectare, and then all of these with 10,000 stems per hectare, and here's what it looks like when we do different combinations of planting prescriptions. And one of the unique things that NAIT has developed is the ability to deliver multiple plants per plug in the nursery. So traditionally, nurseries produce one plant per plug, and then we take those plugs and plant them one at a time. NAIT's been able to figure out the timing of the seed germination and growth and all of the competition for nutrients and create what's called a hitchhiker plug, where we've got two plants in one plug. So you get twice as many plants delivered to the site for the price of one plug, which is a very innovative and very cool, applied research example of how what they're doing benefits us operationally.
So I understand you just started this in 2014, is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
So this is 2 years later. What are you finding?
I find a marked difference already, just the site preparation and getting the plants planted in June of this year. It was about the middle of June, I think, in 2016. And being up there in the late summer, the site was just humming and alive with insects and bees. I guess those are insects too. Birds flying up, it was a very different looking site than this barren, windswept, grassy site of a few years ago.
So it's really just using these different methods, you're really encouraging biodiversity?
I think so, and I think the data that Nate has collected over the summer will bear that out in terms of plant diversity that we're seeing established on the site. We haven't targeted the wildlife aspect. It occurred to us this summer that, oh, wow, look, we should have done some baseline data collection on the insect and animal diversity as well. But it's never too late, I guess, to start collecting data on that aspect as well.
What's next then for the project?
So what's next is monitoring, really. For this site, we've established the experiment. We've still got some questions about, can we let the plants outcompete the weeds, or will we have to go in and do something to take out some of the weeds that have also come in onto the site? But really, it's monitoring, collecting the data. This winter, we'll be analyzing that initial data collection of the plant diversity and the different treatments to see what's coming, right? So it's really the next several years is monitoring, and analysis. It takes time to grow a forest, so now we have to be patient.
What would you consider the environmental benefits of what you're doing with Cermont?
So the techniques we're testing here, we hope will have both short and long-term benefits. So the short-term benefits really are, like you said, reducing our commercial footprint that's really barren and not producing any ecological value. Reducing the risk of invasive species establishment, so that's that weeds issue. Increasing the plant biodiversity, stabilizing the soils, those are the main short-term benefits. The longer term, we're looking at accumulating more organic matter on the site, so this will come from the plants that are growing, the leaf litter that will accumulate over time. We'll have coarse woody material available as a final reclamation, so decades from now, we'll be building a bank of suitable seeds of native plants as well as propagules. So some plants you can propagate just with root fragments, propagules, and improving the quality of the reclamation soil and also increasing the animal and plant biodiversity at the site. So those are the main benefits.
Does this information get shared amongst the different companies, the rest of the industry?
Yes, most certainly it does. So there's two avenues of sharing that are important. One is with other operators and to influence other companies to also improve their environmental performance. But the other one, and more key for us, I think, is internally in our company with the actual operators on the ground and the people planning and designing these projects so that they understand the importance of what they're doing. I find our operators also have a shared vision on the outcome. They also want to see a healthy, well-maintained, good environment when they're done with their work, so that they're proud of what they've done. And the excitement that some of the operators coming out to this experimental site is really great to see. So disseminating that knowledge right to the boots on the ground people who do the actual work, as well as sharing it amongst companies, is really important to the success and the uptake of this kind of work.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thanks for your interest.